Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Take this word, this revelation that you are saturating us with concerning no more toil and toleration, but expect multiplication. Cause this to become so real in us that it'll change how we do everything. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Come on, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. Your Bibles should just open up to it. Luke chapter 5. We've been in this teaching. Now, before I even read the scriptures, well, let's go ahead. We'll read the scriptures first, and then I'll bring everybody where I want them to go today. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or for a massive manifestation. Verse 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should not, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. We'll stop there. So we're talking about no more toil and toleration. Now, the number one thing that I'll share with you, just to remind you of this, God wants you to move past this place of this toiling mindset and this attitude of toleration. You all have heard me say it for years. Whatever you accept, you can't take authority over. And though you've heard me share that, and you have heard that in my teachings, look at still to this day in your life how much you still accept. Because you have embraced it as a part of life. And you got to understand that the life in the kingdom, which is how you and I are supposed to live, is different than life in the world. What other people tolerate, what other people accept and put up with, that is not for you as a child of God, as a kingdom citizen. It's just like now in the natural. When you look at on TV and you see commercials or movies about third world countries and you see how they live, and you know, I mean, you're watching it on your nice TV. You're sitting in your fine living room furniture or dining room or den furniture, or either laying in your fine bed, and you see what they got to sleep on. You would not accept that as a way of life for you. But what you have done is you've allowed North American lifestyle to dummy you down to kingdom lifestyle. And you're thinking that North American lifestyle is the apex, and it's still beneath the kingdom. So some of y'all, you know, when they had those commercials, they had all the kids up there and flies all flying around their face or whatever. Oh, your heart go out to them, and you thank God that your child isn't like that, those of you who have kids. But that's only in the natural. And what you got to understand, there's still some things in your life that you are accepting. So I've pointed out to you to get this across to you that you're not to tolerate whatever has held you down before. You're not to tolerate what has ever shaken you around before. You're not to tolerate what was stolen from you. You're not to tolerate what kept you bound before. Amen.
Amen.
No, you have to take authority and continue to operate in authority as you take back what is rightfully yours. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, all right. So, no more toil and toleration, expect multiplication. Now, one of the main reasons, again, for toleration is because people have a lack of revelation. That's why they tolerate. They lack revelation. Two, they tolerate things because of spiritual ignorance. Hosea 4:6, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. For years, specifically in the early years when God introduced that scripture to me, I had a problem with that. Your people, they're God's people. He says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And I'm thinking, God, why don't you do something about it to prevent them from perishing? And he said, I did. I've given them a preacher to preach to them so they wouldn't be destroyed. Look at this. Look at this. Keep your finger at Luke 5. Look at Romans 10. Come on. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. Glory to God. Look at verse 14. Come on, quickly. Romans 10, verse 14. Blessed be God forever. It says, how then shall they call on him, meaning on God, in whom they have not believed? Now, you came into this earth, when you was born as a little child, you came into this earth not believing in God. So it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? So what the preacher teaches and preaches is imperative to what I get to hear, because my hearing capacity is my receiving capacity. If he preached me some cute message, I'll have fun on Sunday, but I'll struggle on Monday. If he doesn't preach me something, watch this, that's out of reach for me, that requires me to believe more and stretch for more, then I will always be at this place of settling for where I am. So look what it says. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God did answer that question in Hebrews 4:6, when I asked him, I said, how can you let your people perish and they're your people? He said, I didn't. I've given them a preacher to preach to them the revelation that will bring about demonstrations and manifestations that I want for their lives. If they won't believe my word, then they won't believe me if I stood in front of them physically. So Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are taken captive because of lack of knowledge. So the reasons for people tolerating stuff is lack of revelation. Number two, spiritual ignorance. Then number three, religious tradition. That's why you tolerate the church I was brought up in. Now, I understand the church I was brought up in Texas. And it's sad to say, you know, We got saved, but we didn't know how to live victoriously. And I shared this with y'all before, and my mother used to always say, a brighter day is going to come after a while. And by the time I turned 15, 16, I challenged her. I said, when is this brighter day going to come? When? You've been saying it all these years. We're going to church. When is it going to happen? So I didn't see, this is me, this is my testimony, leave me alone. I didn't see the church as the solution for my victory in life. Because I saw what the church was doing to my mother in her life. But it wasn't the church's fault. It was what the preacher was preaching. So they were preached to impress people, to stay above people, and to excite people. So, and in the church I was raised in, they shouted all the time. They shouted all the time. If somebody was rolling on the floor, they said, oh, look at God, whoop her, whoop her, God. And I said, don't whoop me, God. And then if somebody was praying and they was crying and sobbing and start frothing at the mouth, they say, purge her, God. I said, don't purge me, God. That is nasty. I didn't want them to do that to me. But you know what? You ready for this? None of that did I see in the scriptures. Nowhere in the Bible did I see God doing his people like that. But religion taught us that that's how God do people. I remember one time, I'm going to leave y'all alone after I say this one. I remember one time, the preacher said, lift your hands toward God. We lift our hands. He said, if you put your hands down, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Man, after a while, my hands got tired. I started, come on, Holy Ghost, I don't want to go to hell. Come on, Holy Ghost, please. Nowhere in the Bible did I see that. But it was all these different things. So we go back to Luke 5, and this is where I want you to see today, because faith comes by hearing. Because I'm going to share some things. I begun it this past Thursday that I want you to see, because when you see Jesus, look at this. Look at verse 4 again. I'm in Luke 5. Y'all there? Come on, y'all. Come on. Now, when he, Jesus, had left speaking, or we can say when he had finished teaching, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought or a massive manifestation. Now, here's my question to you. Why? Why? Why, Jesus? Peter didn't ask for this. This was not a prayer request. It was not a personal request. Why? And here's what I want you to see, because you have to see yourself standing in Jesus' position and stop seeing yourself standing in Peter's position. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on, look around you and say, hello, new creature. And so you are a new creature. Watch this. With a new feature that's locked into a new future. You are a new creature. So everything about you is supposed to change. But if you just listen to mama and dad, grandma and grandpa, family tradition, you'll live life like they did instead of like God wants you to. That's number four, why we tolerate family tradition. Family tradition. So what mama suffered with, struggled with, was stressed out about, now you struggle with. You're stressed out. So one of my prayers is, Father, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be held back by what held my parents back. That's one of my prayers. I refuse to be taken captive and struggle with what mom and dad struggle with. That generational curse will not flow past me in the name of Jesus. Y'all say it by faith. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind.
I bind.
every tendency and result of a generational curse that came through my bloodline. The buck stops here with me in Jesus' name. I am free, and everybody following me is free. In the name of Jesus. Give God some praise. Come on, give him some praise. But you got to determine that. Instead of just accepting how mama lived, how dad lived, how grandma lived, accept that as a way of life. No. Look at their lives through the lens of revelation. Not through the lens of your love for them. We love them. We're not judging them. We're just saying the preachers they listened to didn't take them where God wanted them to go. So since my family didn't get to go, I'm going. I'm reaching for my mom and dad. I'm reaching for my grandfather and grandfather. I'm taking my bloodline from my parents' family tree. I'm willing to take it to another level because they were robbed in their lives. You following me? So why Jesus? Because Jesus understood that when he stood before Peter, he stood as an image of God, and he didn't have to allow Peter to go home with that toiling mindset and that tolerating, we caught nothing. And he changed the results of Peter's moment. Look at this, Genesis 1, real quick, Genesis 1. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That includes the creeps. Now, come on. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. And God, blessed them. Everyone look up here. What does that mean? He blessed them. The church taught us that when God blesses us, it's a thing. But the kingdom teaches us when he blesses us, it's an empowerment. It's an empowerment. So when he's communicating and talking to them, Rashawn, he's not just informing them. He's imparting to them. You got to catch that. There's a big difference between being informed to where you just have knowledge of something, but you don't know how to get it. And catching an impartation. When he blessed them, he imparted to them. Watch this. And God said to them, now his speaking is a transference of what's on the inside of him that he wants on the inside of them. Is everybody with me so far? Please stay with me. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Wait a minute. Peter, you got dominion you're not using, but you're going home empty. In Luke 5, Peter, you don't have to accept that. Peter, don't tolerate that. There's a word on you, willing to work for you if you'll allow it through you. But don't have your mind made up, Peter, that you got to accept what the other fishermen accept. Don't have your mind made up, you put your name in there, that you got to accept life like you've been accepting it because you see other people like you accepting it. No, it's the revelation of the word of God that demolishes stereotypes. It's the word of God. A revelation from the word of God that destroys statistics. So when society say people of your age or people of your color or people of your gender can only have this, can only go there, it doesn't pertain to you because you're of the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
But if you're not careful, you'll get mad and irritated because of the statistic, the stereotype. You get mad at it because you think it pertains to you. No, it doesn't touch you. It touches those who don't have a revelation like you. Come on, y'all.
Yes.
So look what he says. And he blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So put this down in your notes real quick. The image of God has to include, number one, you ready to write? The image of God has to include, number one, an image of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. That means I have a grace and anointing on me to flourish no matter what I'm going through. Number two, the image of God has to include an image of multiplication. Multiplication. The image of God. Everyone say, I've been made in the image of God. And in his likeness. Meaning his similitude. You know, it's just like, you know, when you're growing up in your family and they say, "You boy, you look just like your daddy." Not only do you look like your daddy, you got some of your daddy's ways. They say you, see, they're saying you're made in his image, but also you got some of his likeness. What are they saying? Some of his tendencies, his ways, his habits. Well, I got to ask you a question. When are you ready to show the world the tendencies of God? Instead of you crying foul and unfair all the time, when are you willing to show the world the likeness of God? Because you're made in his image. And that image includes an image of fruitfulness. It includes an image of multiplication. Wait a minute. So if I have this image of multiplication, I will never accept or tolerate subtraction. Peter. No, let's go back out into the same waters that you failed in, and this time let's go home with a massive manifestation. Peter, that is possible for you. Peter, you don't have to go home empty-handed. I'm telling you today, you don't have to go home just trusting in your payroll check, because your payroll check is not the sum total of your provision. You get mad because your calculations are not working. It's not a calculation you need. It's a revelation. Come on, somebody. It's an image of multiplication. Number three, it's an image of subduing or overcoming. An image of subduing or overcoming. What is one characteristic of an overcomer? They overcome. What do they overcome? Whatever dares to come against them. An overcomer. And I speak over your lives today that in this new year, that God is going to give you a deeper revelation of your overcoming status. That you're going to stop waiting on something to happen for you, and you're going to get in the mode of causing things to happen because of you. Oh, y'all. I know it. There's some of y'all be sitting there, Pastor Mark be sharing this stuff, and you be sitting there saying, I just want better to happen in my life. Well, speak better. Think better. Plan better. Expect better. And praise him because he has put you in a better place and position.
Amen.
And then the image of God has to include an image of fruitfulness, an image of multiplication, an image of subduing or overcoming, and then finally an image of dominion. An image of dominion. An image of dominion. And some of y'all have been around me a while and you heard me teach or refer to the dominion factor in the kingdom. You've heard me teach and share concerning overcoming. But then it's one thing to be exposed to it. It's a whole different ball game to be grounded and rooted in it and you won't let it go. You won't let it go. Now there's one thing I always love. It's not the only thing. It's just one thing I always love about me and Cheryl's kids. Let's say this in a minute. I'm Mark and Cheryl Robeson kid. No. When they say it, something get on them. They their shoulders. I mean, their body language. No matter what they go through. And don't let it be Krishan, because Krishan, I'm Mark and Cheryl Robeson kid. You know, and she expects something to come from that. You know what I mean? It's not just, will you feel sorry for me and let me have something? No, she expects, I mean, it's just like, it's like she's waiting like Moses for the waters to part. I'm Mark and Cheryl Robeson kid. So sometimes you say, I'm going to walk in there like Mark and Cheryl Robeson kid. I say, what does that mean? You know? And then here's what her and Latrice say. You know what that means, Daddy. I'm going to walk in there just like you do. I say, well, I understand, but you got to carry what I carry. Krishana say, then I can pretend I got it. But I use that as comical to show you something, that something is supposed to change about you when you understand you've been made in the image of God and you carry this image of fruitfulness. You carry this image of multiplication. You carry this image of subduing or overcoming. And you carry this image of dominion. Dominion. Now, I think, this is me personally, culturally, we've been robbed because we've been conditioned to either do one of two things: pull our own bootstraps up and go at it ourselves, or look for a handout. And you don't see the God factor in any of those. Is everybody with me? You don't see a kingdom in any of those. And so the thing that you got to understand is this. God is a God of multiplication, and he wants multiplication to happen through you, for you, and to you. If Peter, who wasn't believing like you are, could get a massive manifestation, how much more should you and I get it in this day and time? Amen. Even though you've read this passage before, you've heard it taught and preached before, but now you're at a different place of revelation. And so there's something that you got to understand. See, we must raise our sights in how we see ourselves. Put it down in your notes. I must raise my sight on how I see myself. We must raise our sights in how we value ourselves. We must raise our sights on how we value ourselves. So number one is what? I must raise my sights on what?
How I value myself.
How I see myself. Two is what? No, I want you to say the whole thing. I must raise my sights on how I value myself. Three, I must raise my sights in how I think of myself. Number one is, we must raise our sights in how we see ourselves. Okay? I'm getting ready to wrap it up. These four I'm giving you, they're so important. Listen, because really, you've been seeing yourself through the acceptance of other people. You've been seeing yourself through what other people say about you. If they say you can do it, now you think you can. But what about what did God say? If they approve of you, whether you realize it or not, see, one of the things God had to deliver me from, because I kept on saying, oh, no, Lord, I'm not looking for anybody's acceptance. But unconsciously, I was. I was looking for their approval. I was looking for their acceptance. I was looking for their agreement. And I had not even come into agreement with that I have been made the image of God. Y'all listening?
Yes.
Number one, we must raise our sights in how we see ourselves. Number two, we must raise our sights in how we value ourselves. Your value is not attached to material things. The value that has been placed on us is the price that has been paid for us. The value, our value, is found in the blood of Jesus. That's what's been paid for me. I have been bought with a price, right? And he paid for me with his blood. And nothing else supersedes that value. Now, and you got to be very careful, because here's where some of us are. If some of our spiritual, who we call spiritual superstars, spiritual people we all admire, walk through that door, we'll give them more reverence than Jesus. And you do it unconsciously. And if they said, walk through that door and say, I got a word from you, you'll stand there trembling and crying. And Jesus said, but what about when I visited you last night in your room and gave you a word? You didn't tremble and cry in my presence. You've made that person, your spiritual superstar, you've made them your God. All because you undervalue yourself. God had to get on me. Because when I used to live by comparisons, and he says, who told you another preacher has more value than you? The same God that called him is the same God that called you. Mark, he can only do what he does because I anoint him, just like I anoint you. He says, son, there is no different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. The only thing different that he has is his assignment that I want him to fulfill. And I have you on a different assignment, but your assignments don't determine your value. My calling does, because I paid the price for you. Who am I talking to in here? Number three, we must raise our sights in how we think of ourselves. In how we think of ourselves. And so it took me some time, but man, I'm so far out there now. I don't see myself as a victim. I don't care what goes on. I don't see myself, and it's not arrogance, it's confidence. What you know what I'm confident in? In him we live, move, and have our being. I'm confident in that. You know what else I'm confident in? This is the day the Lord has made. You know who he made today for? Me. That's why I'm here. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know why I'm rejoiceful and I'm being glad in it? Because he made another day for my victory. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then finally, number four, and we'll end right here. Did y'all get blessed today? We must raise our sights in what we identify with concerning ourselves. We must raise our sights in what we identify with concerning ourselves. What do you identify with? What have you attached your identity to? What do you always see yourself connected to? Failing? Coming up short? Always sick? Always in pain? What are you identifying with? And you have to discipline yourself to identify with what the kingdom has made available to you and given you access to. Jesus did not identify with Peter's toiling. That's why he didn't even address it. He didn't identify with Peter saying, "We caught nothing." He didn't address it. When you stop identifying with the wrong things, you stop addressing it because it doesn't matter to you. Are y'all following me? You know, I never get into an argument about the Bible with anybody. When they come at me and say something, I just look at them and say, "Oh, that's what you believe?" I say, "Okay." They say, "Okay, do you believe it?" I say, "I didn't say it, you said that." I don't get some come and challenge me. "Well, I don't believe in that speaking in tongues." I say, "That's all right, God does. How can you say that? He put it in the Bible, not man." I don't get in an argument. "I don't believe that Christians ought to be wealthy. I don't believe that Christians ought to prosper." I say, "Then why you go to work? You trying to prosper. If you didn't believe it, then let me have your paycheck." See, when you just talk reasonable to people, instead of trying to argue your biblical stance, you hit them between the eyes, just like David hit Goliath between the eyes with that rock. You're going to hit them with the rock of that revelation you're carrying. And they can't deny. They'll say to you what they've said to me, "Oh, you good, you good." I say, "No, I'm a believer." And you got to understand, stop. And many of you are friends with Pastor Mark on social media. Of course, I don't make many posts. Any posts I make, Chris will make it, or Krishan will make it, or I'll share what Chris put up or something like that. Or I might say happy birthday every now and then. Because I don't respond. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't respond. That's not what I'm saying. Y'all get my point, right? I'm just simply saying you don't have to argue how you've chosen to live.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And live victoriously. Well, while you're at it, if you're going to live victoriously, listen, live healed.
Come on. Yeah.
Wait. Living healed is not based upon what my body tells me. It's based upon what this Bible has told me.
Yes, Lord. Wait.
If you're going to live victorious, then live prosperous. Living prosperous is not based upon what my bank account is telling me. Living prosperously is based upon what this word of God is telling me. If you're going to live victoriously, live in peace. I don't do drama. My kids know I don't do drama. Y'all heard me share it. I don't do drama. Why? I've committed myself to living in peace, living at peace, and living because I am in peace.
Amen.
And it's a choice. It's a choice. Listen. Stop trying to fix everybody's problems you didn't have a choice in.
Lord, thank you.
You didn't make the choice. So you don't have a problem. So now when they come to me, either you want to receive my wisdom on how you can be elevated out, But you can't try to cause me to listen to you to see it your way. And I told y'all this before, stop being everybody's trash can. They dumping their mess on you. Dumping their garbage on you and you call it ministry. That ain't ministry. Where is that at in the Bible? Did Jesus ever sit down and listen to Peter talk about his mother-in-law? No. 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 Remember when Jesus entered Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick in the bed? He didn't listen to Peter telling him, said, don't pray for her. She needs to be down there. No. He went and prayed for her. Peter was in agreement. He didn't listen to no mess. You know, when Jesus called some of his two of his disciples sons of thunder, it wasn't because they were spiritually strong. It's because they had tempers. They had short tempers. That's why he called them the sons of thunder. He didn't get into their disagreements. So I feel led to say this, and I'm done. Stop trying to fix everybody's problem. And you didn't make a choice in it. I tell Pastor Cheryl sometimes, I say, get off that phone. I said, we didn't make a choice in that. If I'm going to be upset and bothered, it's because of choices I make. Not because somebody else, and now they want to bring it on me and want me to see it their way and want me to embrace their perspective and want me to embrace their mindset and their mind, the way they think. No, don't do that. And those of us, those of us, that's it. Those of us with adult kids, we've learned. Haven't we, Sister Adrian? We learned. Our kids are still our kids. But they will make choices that will get them into some jams. And as adults, we let them walk it out. And watch this. Watch this, mothers and fathers of adult kids. This is what you got to do when they making them choices. Because then they come to you and want to bail them out. You do like you do on a plane.
Yes, sir. That's it.
When you're on a plane, and you hear it on the pilot, on the overhead speaker, we're about to hear some turbulence. All seatbelts, buckle up. You just buckle up and you ride it out. You ride it out. Because your child gonna try to pull you in it. And then they're gonna want your opinion. And then if you say something, they'll be the same one who says, but you told me. I don't get in that you told me business. I just buckle up. I said, sure, buckle up. We're gonna ride this baby out. Because, see, on that plane, no matter if it's hitting turbulence, we still get to our destination. Amen. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. Let's stand.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.